chapter number 2. Here we find that context of 2 Peter speaking of the sureness of judgment of the last of the following the last days. We have the example of the angels who left their first estate and how God judged them. We have the example of the old world of Noah and how God judged that whole world of Noah with the flood. And then we have this the example of in this world since the flood. We have the city of Sodom, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed by God. We see these as examples of God's judgment. Also, the Bible not only uses these as an example of the sureness of judgment, but the Bible uses the days of Lot as an example of the days before the coming of the Son of Man. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 17, in verse 20 is the context, and when he had demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, and he gives these truths, and then he goes on to say in verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So we find a parallel with these days, not only a parallel of the coming of judgment, we find them a symbol, a parallel of life in the days before the coming of the Son of Man. And you know, you can see that it mentions a couple things. It certainly mentions that they were very secular minded people. They were not spiritually minded people. It was a very secular day. And that certainly is where America is getting to be more and more secular. But tonight we want to look at the life of Lot. We're going to call it Lessons from Lot. Or I have another title, Dangerous or Perilous Realities in Dangerous Days. Perilous realities in dangerous days. And certainly Lot is an example of a saved person, and all the mistakes a saved person could make, or many of the mistakes a saved person can make in the last days. And so there are some great lessons here from Lot of how saved people ought not to live in the last days. And so we'll have some lessons from Lot tonight. The first lesson is this: a taste of the world will go a long way. A taste of the world will go a long way. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And here we have the context that Abram had a lapse of faith. And in the drought, he goes to Egypt. There in Egypt, he lies. He lies about Sarah. It was a half-truth, but it was a lie. And the Lord delivered him. Very serious. It was very serious. Sarah was to be the mother, we would say grandmother, of the Messiah. And Abraham lied about it. Abraham said, she's my sister. And Pharaoh took her into his harem and was going to marry her, make us one of his concubines. You know, it's pretty serious stuff. But you know, when Abram went to Egypt, guess who he took with him? He took his nephew. He took his nephew Lot. And he took his nephew Lot and his family down to Egypt. And the Bible tells us that truth, that chapter 1, verse 13, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him. So Lot was down there, down in the wealth of Egypt and all the magnificence and money and buildings and you name it. And the Bible tells us that Lot and Abraham and their servants had a dispute about the grazing rights. There was enough room for them both to graze. And so Abraham said, just wherever you want to go, Lot, you go, and I'll go the other way so we don't have any conflict. And the Bible tells us that that Lot lifted up his eyes over the countryside and he says, ha, look at what I see. And it says, verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, as it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt. Gone down to Egypt, and he saw the land where the Nile had flooded in the spring, saw the green of the land around the Nile, and he saw the land around the River Jordan, the same principle, flood the land in the springtime, and in the midst of a barren land, the green land, and we know he eventually went there. But notice it says, it was like the land of Egypt. Like the land of Egypt. You know, Lot got something in his mind when he went down to Egypt. He got the world in his mind. And you know, young people, when they get a little bit of the world, it goes a long way. They get a little bit of the world, it goes a long way. You let a young lady get a little bit of the world, it goes a long way. A long way. You let your daughter get a little bit of the world, they get their flesh aroused, it'll go a long way. You try to get it out of there. You try it. Not easy. Not easy. The second lesson is obviously parallel to this. Don't get too close to the world. Don't get too close to the world. The Bible tells us in Genesis 14, it says, verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, that is a whole lot different than where he ended up. Where did he end up? Did he end up on the outskirts of Sodom? No, that's not where he ended up. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. And now, later on, we're going to find that he's sitting in the gate at Sodom. He's sitting at the gate. The angels come to Sodom to rescue him. But in chapter 19 and verse 1, and there came two angels to Sodom and Eden, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So what's happened? He has to pitch his tent toward Sodom. He ends up in the city. He ends up being one of the elders of the land. He has reached whatever you want to call it, the city council in Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't get too close to the world. You get too close to the world, you'll end up right in the world. And there's a lot of people today, and remember, these are lessons for the last days. Really, these are lessons for the last days. And you know, if you think about what I'm talking about, these are the lessons that are being violated wholesale, almost, by Christianity. But these are the lessons from Lot. Don't get too close to the world. Because it'll get you. And it got Lot. Now, the next truth is like it. And is parallel to it. One bad decision leads to another. One bad decision leads to another. So, let's look at the Bible. It says, verse 10 of chapter 13, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. You know what? Chose. You know what that means? He chose. You know what that means? He made a decision. That's what he did. He made a decision that he was going to pitch his tent toward Sodom. It wasn't a mistake. It was a decision that he made. And guess what? That decision obviously was followed up by a lot of other wrong decisions. You know, people say, oh, you know, no big deal. You know, I got a free will. You know, I can make my own choices, and don't interfere with me, Pastor. You know, don't interfere with my choices. You know, yeah. One bad decision. You know what follows most every bad decision? Another bad decision. Another bad decision. We say, oh, it's not, it's just, It's just, it's no big thing. Yeah. Learn from Lot. Now let's look at some things. Let's go to 2 Peter and look there. What else can we learn? Second Peter 2 says, and he delivered just Lot. Verse 7. And we'll get there, but let me ask you a question. Lot was saved. Ask yourself the question, was his wife saved or were any of his children saved? You have to ask that question. The Bible does say Lot was saved. But does it say that his wife was saved? Does it say that any of his children were saved? But it says, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Here's the fourth lesson. Seeing and hearing are spiritual realities. Seeing and hearing are spiritual realities. Understand what I'm saying? It's spiritual. It has a spiritual effect. They're in Sodom. And they say, you know what? Lot wasn't doing it. Lot wasn't doing it. He wasn't doing what he saw. He wasn't doing it. He was just seeing and hearing it. But what does the Bible say? You know, isn't it great that you got the Bible? You know what? The Bible is 100% true. Amen? You know what? The Bible is 100% true. It doesn't matter really what you think. Because, you know, what you think could be wrong. We live in a day and everybody, there's this independent spirit today that, you know, Mark Cahill, like what he says in his book. It says, it doesn't matter what you believe. What matters is what's true. And so what does the Bible say? Seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. Seeing and hearing. Oh, I can handle that. I can handle that. You say, I can handle that. I can handle that atmosphere. I can handle... I can handle those TV programs. I can handle those movies. I can handle those sitcoms. I can handle that. I can handle, you know, my kids. They can do all right. I put them in a public school. They'll do all right. No. No. Seeing and hearing are spiritual realities. The Bible tells us, in seeing and hearing, he vexed his righteous soul. The word vexed is emphasizing that his righteous soul was worn down. Worn down, had a spiritual effect upon him. And obviously, if we don't get there, you know there was a definite spiritual effect. You know, I wonder, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that? Think about the day in which we live. Think about the day in which we live. And I'm not trying to be on, I'm just trying to illustrate it. There's more Christian schools there's more kids in the public school as they have gotten rotten to the core than there were in the public schools when it was good. I shouldn't even say good because it wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? There are more kids in public school, Christian kids in public schools today, when it's rotten to the core, than years ago when it wasn't nearly as bad. You know, it was in the 60s that they started, finally, independent Baptists got their head together to start having Christian schools. But they must be a lot better now, because there's a whole host of Christian kids in public schools. And there's even Christian schools that have Common Core curriculum. Can you believe it? And one of the big Christian publishing companies, so-called, their curriculum is now Common Core friendly. Common Core friendly. A lady grew up in communism. I was reading this. I don't know where it was that when she found out about Common Core curriculum, she said, "Oh, that's just like communism. They want everybody to get the same propaganda that the government wants everybody to have." Seeing and hearing. You say, does it matter where your children work? Yeah, it matters. Seeing and hearing. Does it matter what they see, what they hear? It matters a lot. Those are spiritual realities. Lesson number 5. Compromise brings attachment and darkness. Let's go back to Genesis. Compromise brings attachment and darkness. Now let's go to Genesis here. The angels come. And, of course, we know the whole story. The homosexuals try to attack them. And they say, we came here to deliver you out of this city. God is going to judge this place. You would think, okay, boy, God's going to judge this place. Okay, let's get out of here! Right? I mean, this place is going to be destroyed. Let's get out of here. Come on, let's hightail it. Let's go right now. Verse 15, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. They said, get moving. Come on, get going. Get up, Lot. Hey, it's time. You know what? Ever have a hard time getting the kids up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go fishing? Huh? Get them at 5 o'clock to do schoolwork. The Bible says they hastened a lot. They said, get moving. Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord be merciful unto him, and they brought them forth. He lingered. You know what it means? He lingered. We call it dilly-dallying around. The angel says, get out of here. It's a wicked place. They weren't convinced it was that wicked, were they? They weren't too convinced. Notice, of course, as they were leaving the city, the Bible tells us, verse 26. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. His wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. Gospel of Luke says, remember Lot's wife. What about Lot's wife? She's attached to the city. She was attached to that ungodly place. I think Dr. Bob Jones Sr. has a great message on Lot's wife. And he talks about how she was probably in the bridge club, and she was probably in the ladies' social club, and she was probably on the city improvement club, and all these nice ladies' clubs, and Sodom and Gomorrah, and et cetera, et cetera. And, she loved the city. She loved that wicked place. Now the Bible says that Lot's righteous soul was vexed. But it had a profound effect upon all of them. They were attached to it. They were attached to it. You know, I wonder what, if the Lord doesn't come back, I wonder what history will say about Christians today and the things of the world that they love. I wonder what history will say. We had, I think it was last week, during the week, we had someone from the NFL call our church on behalf of the NFL. And they said, we realize that there's a lot of churches that have Super Bowl Sunday. And we want you to be reminded of the patent laws or whatever patent laws. What a reputation. Churches. What will history say about the NFL and God? We mock at the gladiators and people cheering, you know, people getting their brains knocked out at the Colosseum. But that's a different story. A compromise brings attachment and darkness. Obviously, there was a tremendous darkness, moral darkness, that came across Lot. The angel said, can you imagine a father saying this? Brethren, do not so wickedly. Don't ask for these men. I have two daughters, which have not known men. Let me bring them out to you and do to them what's good in your eyes. What? You say, oh, he didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean that, really. They were in the mountain. And his two daughters were with him. And his firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old. There is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him. Darkness. Darkness. Spiritual darkness. You know, it's interesting that the Bible tells us about the church at Laodicea. You know, in fact, it doesn't say the church at Laodicea. It says the church of the Laodiceans. very significant difference. In other places, talk about the church at Smyrna, talks about the church at Ephesus, but it doesn't talk about the church at Laodicean. It talks about the church of the Laodiceans, emphasizing that the church is dominated by the people. And what does it say about the Laodicean church? It says, verse 17 of Revelation 13, it says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Just talking about blind. You know, blindness. What is blindness? You know, what is blindness? You can't see it. It's there, but you can't see it. That's blindness, isn't it? It's something that's real. You can't see it. Well, we live in the days in that maybe we would say people don't get it. They don't get it. They don't see it. You know why? Because compromise brings blindness. I keep thinking, certainly, these mega churches have to have at least some percentage of truly born again people in them. You know, if they're truly born again, why aren't they leaving them? You know, just all this stuff that goes on. Well, I realize why they don't leave, because the longer they're in them, the blinder they get. People who live in darkness will eventually become blind. The largest underground lake is somewhere, I think it's in Tennessee. They have a big boat that you can go on and has a glass bottom and has all these lights in it. And it's nice cold water. And you get on the boat and the shining lights, and you see these huge brown trout in this lake, you know. And you shine the light right on them, and they just start swimming, you know, and don't scatter or anything. And the guide will tell you, the trout are blind. No, they weren't born blind. But they've lived in darkness for so long, they're blind. Attachment to the world brings, compromise brings blindness. And that certainly was true with Lot and his family. The sixth lesson is social acceptance can lure one into neutrality. Social acceptance can lure one into neutrality. Now, this is such an interesting statement. In Genesis 19, verse 9, the angels, of course, when they appear on earth, they appear as men. They don't appear as ladies. They don't appear as, you know, bird men. They appear as men. And they came to the city, and the wicked, perverted men of the city thought that they were men, and they wanted to sin with them. And and Lot says, don't do such a wicked thing as this. This is bad. Don't do such a wicked thing. And of course, then he offered them his daughters. Verse 9, what do the people, men of the city, say? They said, stand back. In other words, get out of the way. We're coming through. Stand back, and they said again, they're saying this among themselves, this one fellow came in to sojourn. This fellow is a stranger. He comes to, you know, to live in our city. To, you know, I mean, he's not one of us. He comes here to live. He's sojourning here. You know, he's an immigrant. This man came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. You going to judge us, Lot? Come on. Don't judge us. Now think about it. He became an elder in the city. And the elder, they sat in the gate. And you know, all the official business of the city was done at the gate. Different Psalms, you know, they will not be ashamed when they speak with the enemies in the gate. That's where you brought the disputes, the legal disputes. That's where these type of things were discussed at the gate. The wise men of the city, the councilmen of the city, sat at the gate. He was a councilman. He was a judge. But obviously, he was a neutral. He had been gone into neutrality. Think about it. Abram said, you know, my nephew, Lot, certainly he must have been winning some people to the Lord in Sodom. He must have been opening his mouth for Christ and witnessing in that wicked city. Certainly, Lord, you would destroy that city if there's 45 righteous people there, would you? Lord says, of course not. And he goes down, 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 down. And to find out that obviously Lot hadn't won anybody to the Lord in that city. You know why? Because Lot became neutral. I remember talking to, in our experience at the university, we had a girl that came to our meeting a couple times, and she said, you know, in high school, I witnessed. He was in public school. But when I got to the university, I've been quiet. I've been quiet. And we talked to a number of other people who, in fact, I talked to this fellow. He claimed to be saved. And I said, hey, you need to be witnessing around here. And he said, there's nobody want to hear that around here. Nobody would want to hear that. They became neutral because they wanted the acceptance of the world. They wanted to, when you want to be accepted by the world, you will become neutral for Jesus Christ. When you want the world's applause, you will become neutral for Jesus Christ. And when you get the world's acceptance, you can very easily become neutral. You'll be quiet. You won't speak out for what's right and what's wrong. You'll be quiet because, you know, one of the devil's big tools is pride of life, isn't it? And pride of life, fear of man, causes people to be neutral. They don't speak out because they don't live out. They aren't, you know, many people don't want to look too much like a Christian. They want to look as much like the world as they can. They want to be accepted by the world. They don't want to stand out in a crowd. They don't want to be different. Well, Lot, they got social acceptance. But he became neutral. Oh, his soul was grieving and what he saw. But did he do anything about it? Was he proclaiming the gospel? Was he warning people against sin? Did he dare? Did he dare? The seventh lesson is, worldliness brings confusion. Worldliness brings confusion. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean, it brings spiritual confusion. And our children brings spiritual confusion in our children. Let's look a little bit here. So here we have the angels come. And verse 12 of chapter 19, the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? In other words, anybody else, a member of your family, besides those in your house here? Sons-in-law, sons, daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord's going to destroy the city. But it says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. In other words, what did the sons-in-law say? Lot, you're crazy. Get out of here. We don't want to listen. Goodbye. We like it here. It's not going to get destroyed. It's not going to get judged. You're just talking off the top of your head. You don't know what you're talking about. They mocked them. They laughed at them. Their own dad mocked at him, laughed at him. Think of his other two daughters. He talked about it. Verse 31, the firstborn said unto the daughter, our father is old. There's not a man on the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let's make our father drink wine. Let's commit incest with him. Verse 36, thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and his name was called Moab. In the Bible, Moab represents the world. And the younger, she also bare a son, called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon until this day. The enemies of the people of God were the daughters of Lot. That's pretty serious. You know what it tells me? It tells me that Lot did not transfer his faith unto his children. Isn't that what it teaches you? Lot did not transfer his faith to his children. Why? Because they were confused. They were confused. How would I say it in different words? There was a major inconsistency in that house. There was a major inconsistency in that house. And it came out in their kids. Oh yeah, we all got problems. But when you have a major inconsistency, it's going to produce confusion. And I'm going to tell you this. All the preaching in the world, very seldom does it ever rise above it. Those children can be in a Christian school, and they can have chapel, and they can be in church almost every service, but they typically don't get it. They don't get it. And the reason? Major inconsistency at home, and puts within their mind confusion. Wow. Lot was not able to transfer his faith to his own daughters. In fact, his daughters bear the enemies, the perpetual enemies of the people of God throughout the centuries. That's pretty serious stuff, isn't it? That's pretty serious stuff. You know, we live in perilous days. These are not easy days. These aren't like 100 years ago, when even in the world, there was only one divorce out of 256 marriages. This isn't like years ago, when our world was much different than it is today. We live in perilous times. And they're only going to get worse. They're only going to get worse. And you know, you heard me say this. The next generation, you young people. Let me tell you something. My sense and common sense says, you better be stronger than your preacher, not weaker. You better be stronger than those who are successful in this church to raise their children. You better be stronger. You better not say, oh, you know what I mean? Pastor, you know him. He's just, you know what I mean? Here we go again. You know what I mean? Right, Gary? Here we go again. You know what I mean, don't you? You better be stronger. The Bible makes a very clear picture. A little compromise goes a long way. A little compromise goes a long way. A little taste of the world goes a long way. One bad decision, apart from God's grace, will most surely be followed by many other bad decisions. It did in the life of Lot. Seeing and hearing are real issues. Seeing and hearing are real issues. What you allow on the internet, seeing and hearing is a real issue. Magazines that you allow, seeing and hearing is a real issue. It vexes righteous souls. It wears them down. You know it. You know, moms and dads, you know the effect it has just being in the office. Your children are much more susceptible than you. Much more. Lessons from Lot. Dangerous realities in dangerous days. Lot, praise the Lord. He was delivered. And even his daughters were delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. And his wife could have been. And even his sons-in-law, they could have been. And I don't know, but it just appears to me that he wasn't able to transfer his faith to any of them. But there was a God. As we mentioned last week, there's a God who knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen. And no matter how evil the world is, praise God, godly people who will do what's right can have the confidence that they'll be able to raise a godly family. Amen. Isn't that great? It doesn't matter how evil the world gets. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. But let's not be like Lot. Let's not fall and succumb to Lot, because Lot is a picture of life in the last days. And these things are very important. So as we think about this, you know, maybe something we need to change some things in our home. And maybe if we have some rebellion in our home, we better say, well, you know, what inconsistencies are in our home that this rebellion is going on? Because rebellion is usually a result of confusion. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Praise the Lord for that. But we ought to have a biblical view of life. And you know, I realize that anybody that is even slightest conservative is called way out by this world in which we live. But I say we have to be far more than that if we're going to be successful in this world. And young people, I'm not just saying it over to say it over. I'm saying it because it's true. You better let God get a hold of your heart. And you better allow the Spirit of God to give you wisdom. Because if you in your heart are wanting to cut corners spiritually, and you're wanting to get not so far away from the world, you want to compromise, let me tell you what. There's some lessons from Lot that are very real. And I fear for your future. I fear for your future. And I think you know better to think that I'm just up here and just spouting off because I like spouting off. As a pastor, I am genuinely concerned about the future of every person here and every young person in this place. And I say this very seriously. The sinful nature of man has always got that idea, I know better. I got a better idea. Let's not be so fuddy-duddy. That's man's sinful nature. But you got revival that only can be produced by the Holy Spirit that says, you know what? I know Pastor Roberts, he's got some strong convictions, but I think maybe we should have some stronger ones. Amen. I think Holy Spirit's got stronger convictions than me. Don't you think so? I think so. I think God's a lot more holy than I am. If we have revival, that's what'll happen. And we won't get caught up in the world. And we won't have what it says about Lot. In fact, we'll have the opposite. We'll grab a hold of the promise that says God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. And thank you for, Lord, these truths. And I thank you that, Lord, that no matter who we are, even if we are living in a situation of inconsistency, we can't blame that because you're still holy and you're still God and the truth is still the truth. And I pray that, Lord, that we would be warned. I pray that we would allow you to show us the reality of these lessons that are being, sad to say, lived out over and over and over in these last days when they could have been avoided. And Lord, I pray in your grace that wherever your Spirit has applied them, that there is a willingness to say yes to you. Lord, perhaps there needs to be a humble begging to have you take the blinders off because of previous bad decisions. Perhaps, Lord, there is a desire, a decision to obey you and to be careful in an even greater way that needs to be made. Lord, so we pray that you would have free reign even in as we apply the message to our lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all, let me start right with the young people.